Amen. All right, take your Bible, turn to Genesis 3, if you would. Genesis 2, Genesis 3 would be in both of them. Good job on the beginner's choir. They're always a blessing to watch. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, the future leaders' song as well. They sounded really good, didn't they? Amen. I appreciate Brother Joe. Amen. He was the only, I don't know where he went to. He may have left the building, I don't know, but he was the only young man here tonight, and I know that's tough at that age, but he got up here and did it.
Amen.
He was the rose between all those thorns. And so it was, I appreciate him doing it, and it did, in all seriousness, sounded good. Amen. I'm not making fun of it at all. I appreciate him getting up here and doing it. Amen. I think it speaks well of him that he was willing to do that, and so praise the Lord for that. Again, I want to say appreciate the dinner last night and all the kind words and so forth. And I just want to emphasize again, there's plenty of people here that can have an appreciation dinner because of all that everybody does. And so I just want to thank the church again for that and how much we appreciate that. I think it was my wife and I was talking to me and Brother Chad were talking about last night. It's hard to remember back 20 years ago in a lot of ways because we were talking about who was here and how old everybody was. Of course, none of the future leader class had even been born yet. You know, some of the ones now that are in my college career class, you know, a lot of them were 2-3 years old. That's just hard to fathom, you know, that they're, well, most of the time it's hard to fathom that they were 2 and 3 years old. And we were talking about different ones around here and what age they were. And it's hard for me to remember, you know, 3-year-old Caroline or whoever it may be. It's just hard to remember that. But they've all done well. Amen. For the most part, to praise the Lord for that. But I do appreciate all that was said, and we'll get some thank you cards out as we when we have time here. I haven't got to read all the stuff. I didn't get home last night to about 11, and so I haven't had a chance to read everything. I've been busy today. I have to work on Sunday, so I've been busy. But I haven't got a chance to read all the notes and all of that, but we'll get that done, probably some of that tonight. So again, we appreciate it very much. All right, Genesis chapter 2. We're going to pick up with a message we started last Sunday night. We're going to preach another part of that tonight. In Genesis 2, we're going to read two passages, one in Genesis 2 and then one in Genesis 3. In Genesis 2, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Then over to chapter 3. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to desire to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden." Let's go ahead and pray. And here's our title for tonight, Beware of Other Voices. Beware of Other Voices. Brother Caudill, why don't you lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house tonight. And we're acutely aware of there are many voices out in the world desiring to draw us away from the things of God. And I pray tonight that you would just listen to that which we hear tonight. And I pray you be with my pastor as he preaches tonight. Give him a great liberty in the pulpit. And we just commit all these things to you in your son's precious, holy, and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. Well, if you were here last week, we were talking about the fact that that we are, of all creation, that which is blessed to be able to hear the voice of God. And we said last week that we were created differently than anything else that was created in the original six-day creation because of that. And I didn't say this last week, and that, of course, is unless you consider or believe that the angels were part of that six-day creation. You know, the angels, of course, are not eternal. They were created at some point by the Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "All things were made by him, and without him not nothing was made that was made. And so we know even the angels were created. They owe their existence to Him and their continued existence to the power of God. You know, there's no statement in the Bible that tells us of the time of their creation. If there's any reference that refers to that, it's Job chapter 38. In Job 38, the Bible says that the sons of God, referring to the angels, sang and rejoiced as God laid the foundation of the earth, or the foundation of the world. So that would certainly seem to imply that they were in existence or created before the six-day creation. Now, how early before that, we don't know. It might have been right before. It may have been 10,000 years before. But we know they were there when God laid the foundation of the earth. And so we would assume that they existed before then. But when it comes to the six-day creation that we read of in the book of Genesis, we were different than anything else that God made. We saw that last week. We were different in many ways. But in three ways that are important for our subject tonight, and they were this. First of all, we're the only thing in the six-day creation that God spoke to. Out of all, He didn't speak to the cows or the dogs or the trees or anything else that He made. We're the only thing God created. We talked last week about how significant that is, that we're the only thing that God spoke to in all that He made. Then secondly, we said the other thing about us that's different from the animal kingdom is not only does God speak to us, but we were created to receive revelation and to receive information from God. We were created with the ability to receive revelation, to hear the Word of God, to receive the Word of God. Matter of fact, that's part of our purpose, is to receive the revelation of God and to receive the Word of God. As I said, one writer said this, that we were created to be revelation receivers. And that was part of why we were made, was to hear the voice of God and to be able to receive His revelation. And then thirdly, we said last time that not only are we the only thing in the original creation that can hear the voice of God and receive revelation from God, but we're also the only other thing that can understand it, discern it, and make application of it to our life. As we said last time repeatedly, dogs are not hearing and receiving the revelation of God and making application of it to their life. All right, they're not, you know, dogs aren't raising their families based on the Word of God. They can't receive revelation, understand it, discern it, and apply it. Only we, and of all that God made in those 6 days, have that ability. That is a big deal. That's an important thing. That makes us so unique to everything else that God made in those 6 days, that we have the capacity and the ability to do that. And that we were made uniquely for that purpose, to hear His voice, receive His revelation, and then hear it, discern it, and make application of it to our life. As I said, that's a great blessing apart from the rest of creation. And that truth defines who we are. It defines, you know, the fact that we can hear the Word of God and that we can apply it to our life. It defines who we are as a people. It defines what we're to be like. It defines the kind of life that we can have, because we can hear and discern and apply God's Word to our life. Listening to His voice as we were created to do, and receiving His Word and discerning it as we were created to do, leads to one kind of life. And of course, that's a blessed life when we're willing to do that. Refusing to hear that voice, refusing to do what we were created to do, which is hear His voice, receive His revelation and discern it and apply it to our life, leads to a whole other kind of life. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? It leads us to two different kind of lives. How we apply God's Word, listen to it, or whether we apply God's Word and listen to it. And we said last time that when we refuse to hear His voice, when we don't listen to the voice of God, when we refuse to receive His revelation, when we refuse to hear it, discern it, and apply it, we relegate ourselves to a lower place in creation. We relegate ourselves to the place of the animals who don't have the ability to do that. As I said last week, that's the reason why when that happens among mankind, we begin to act like animals. We start thinking like animals. We start thinking we're animals. And we start to act like animals because we give up that unique position that God created only us to do in those 6 days. And we're blessed. Amen. We are blessed above all the 6 day creation to be able to hear His voice, receive it, and apply it. Amen. And it's so important, the idea that defines who we are. Now, that's where we finished last week. So I want to pick up this week with this idea that there's a warning that comes along with this. There's a warning that comes with the fact that we were created to hear God's voice, receive His revelation, and discern it and apply it. The fact that we were made to communicate. And so there's a warning that comes with that, and that's going to be our message tonight, and here it is. And that is this, that God's voice is not the only one that we're capable of hearing. God's voice is not the only one that we're capable of hearing. His voice is not the only one that we're capable of receiving. And His voice is not the only one that we're capable of applying. So when God created us to be able to have this ability to hear Him, receive His revelation, and apply it, He didn't make us to only be able to hear His voice. You know, when God created us to receive all these things, He didn't make us deaf to other voices. He could have made us only hear His voice. Of course, that would have been awfully difficult when it came to free will. It certainly would have made it a little bit difficult when it came to human relationships. You know, Adam and Eve, and by the way, you can't hear or talk to each other. And so that would have made human relationships kind of difficult. But he didn't make us deaf to other voices. Sometimes I wish He had. Oh, come on. There are times when I wish, and I don't mean that humorously, there's times when I wish I couldn't hear the voice of the devil and the voice of the world. I wish there were times when I wouldn't think about applying their wisdom to my life. But we have the ability to hear Him, but not only Him, we have the ability to hear other voices. So because of that, we're all capable of hearing many voices, and we're capable of receiving many ideas, and we're capable of applying every one of them in our life, if we were to choose to do so. Not just as we can God's voice, but we can do the same with all voices that are out there. Now we see that play out in the Garden of Eden. When soon after the creation was over with, Adam and Eve faced a new voice. They faced another voice. Now, we don't have all the details, but it appears, based on what we read in Genesis 3, that God used to, for however long it was, we don't know how long it was from creation to the fall, but for however long it was, it appears that God's practice was to come into the garden and communicate with man. God talked to man, because man was the only thing that could hear His voice. Or receive His revelation and apply it. And so I'm sure that God, I'm pretty confident that God said more to them than don't eat of this tree, and He left. You know, God certainly came through the garden, communicated. It was a normal practice at some point. And so up until then, however long that gap was from creation to the fall, however long that gap was, they were used to God coming in and communicating with them. And up to this point, that's the only voice they knew. That's the only voice they heard. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we have the entrance of this new voice. We have the entrance of a new counselor who shows up on the scene. Someone else now comes on the scene and provides some new information and new counsel. And again, that happens in those first five verses where it says that the serpent, of course, the devil, showed up. And for the first time in their existence, Adam and Eve now face a decision as to whose voice they will hear. Now, this is significant. They now face, for the first time in their creation, this decision, which voice are they going to hear? Are they going to listen to another voice? Are they going to listen to another counselor that has entered into the garden? And as I said, for the first time, they now face this decision as to whose voice they're going to apply to their life. And it's a choice between which voice they'll follow. The one they were created to hear, the one they were created to receive, the one they were created to apply, or are they going to listen to a different one? Now, while we can receive all voices, while we can hear voices and receive information and apply it to life outside what God provides us with, we were created to hear His voice and apply it to our life. So now they face this decision, this new voice has come along, this new counsel has come along, this new information has come along. So now they face this decision, not only am I going to listen to this new voice, this new counsel, but are we going to apply it in our life? No, here, are we going to allow it to supersede what we were created to hear and apply in our life? And so now they face this whole new decision. Now notice, we're familiar with this story, but notice what this new voice was saying. When God placed them in the garden, He gave them every tree to eat of except one, didn't He? Say amen. He gave them all trees to eat of except one. And then He warned them. And you know the warning tonight. He said, you may eat of every tree except one. And He told them, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will die spiritually. God was pretty straightforward about that. Eat of the tree, and you will die spiritually. Don't eat. If you don't eat of the tree, then you will live. Not only will you live, but you will know all that I created you to be. You will know all that I created you to have, and you will have eternal life if you don't eat. So God gave them this information. Now, when this new voice comes on the scene, this new counselor, the devil, when he shows up, it's interesting that he took what God said. He took God's revelation. He took the information that God's voice gave, and he doesn't deny it per se, but he gives it a brand new interpretation. So he takes God's voice and God's word and God's revelation, and he reinterprets it and begins to give counsel, of course, to Adam and Eve as a result of that. He gives them a brand new interpretation. He took God's word, God's revelation, and gave it a new meaning. Of course, we know tonight how this works. We've seen this passage many times. First, of course, he questioned whether they were sure they had rightly heard the voice of God. Of course, he says famously unto the woman, yea, hath God said? He says, can you be certain that you've heard the voice of God? Can you be certain that you understood His revelation? Can you be certain that you have a trustworthy recount or count of God's voice? Can you be certain that this is God's word that you've heard? So he tries that tack. But then this new voice, this new counselor, the devil, then when he came on the scene, he took what God said, this revelation that God had gave him, and again, he gave it a brand new, completely different interpretation, and he questions whether or not they're sure they've heard it. But then, while God said that they would die spiritually if they ate of the tree, the devil reinterprets that in verse 4 when he says, you shall not surely die. And of course, we understand tonight that God said or spoke about spiritual death. The devil here in verse 4 is speaking about physical death. And the devil says, you're not going to fall over dead. That's ridiculous. You're not going to fall over dead because you ate of the tree. And of course, you hear people say the same silly thing today. Well, it's not going to kill you. That's what the devil says here. You can eat of the tree. It's not going to kill you. You're not going to die. And so he reinterprets what God said. He spun the consequences. Think about this. He spun the consequences of sin in such a way that it made God look ridiculous.
Right.
You're not going to die. That's ridiculous. Isn't that what people mean? You know, when someone comes to you and says, comes to a young person and says, well, you can have a beer. I mean, it's not going to kill you. Well, what are they saying? Well, they're saying that God's prohibitions and God's warnings are ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. What your parents have said is absolutely ridiculous. Your parents have told you you can't do this or you can't do that. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. And what they're doing is they're taking God's revelation and they're reinterpreting it to make God's consequences look ridiculous.
Right.
And so that's what this voice does. It comes on and says, well, that's utterly ridiculous. If God said, even if God said that, he's being ridiculous because you're certainly not going to die. And so he spins the consequences of sin in such a way that makes God's warning concerning sin seem utterly ridiculous. And then next, God was concerned that if they ate of the tree, they would come to the knowledge of sin. This was God's concern. Look over in verse 22. He says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us. Now, man has never become God, so that's not what he's talking about. He's become one of us, speaking of the Trinity, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. God's fear was, if God can have a fear, speaking as a man speaks, I guess I should say, God's fear was that we would come to know sin as God knew it. Now, God doesn't know sin experientially. God's never experienced sin. God's not a sinner. But he knows the destructive nature of sin. He knows what sin is. Man at this point's innocent. He's not sinless, he's just innocent. I always use this illustration in the Bible studies trying to explain the innocence of Adam and Eve. And that is, you know, if you have a little toddler in your home and you go to change that kid's diaper and you're having a dinner party or people over for dinner and it gets away from you and streaks all of your company, that's innocence. There's nothing lustful about that. You know, this little child's not thinking, I'm going to do something terribly lustful right now and streak the entire people, all the church people we've got over at our house. They don't think that way. They're innocent. And Adam and Eve was innocent in the sense they didn't know sin. And so God's concern was that if they ate of the tree, they would come to know what he knew about sin. Its infective, cancerous, destructive results. And its influence. And so this concerned God that this is what was going to happen. So God warns them not to eat of the tree because he feared, again as a man speaks, that they would come to this knowledge. But the devil takes that and he spins it. He reinterprets it. This new voice, this new counselor completely reinterprets God's concern. And so what the devil does is he puts this new spin on God's word and says that God was concerned that if Adam and Eve ate of the tree, they would know what God knew. They would know as much as God knows. That they would no longer need God in his wisdom. Look what he says in verse 5. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This was God's concern that they would know good and evil. But this new counselor, this new voice comes on the scene and reinterprets that. It says, no, what God's concerned is that you'll know as much as he does. This is what God's concerned about. It's okay to eat of the tree because God knows on the day that you eat of the tree, you will know as much as he does and you will no longer need him. No, listen, you'll no longer need his voice. You'll no longer need his revelation. You'll no longer need to discern and understand and apply his word because you will be able to live your life based on your wisdom, because you will know as much as God does. Matter of fact, you will be as gods. He says this was the devil's reinterpretation of this. You no longer need to hear his voice. You no longer need his revelation. You no longer need to understand. You'll be able to be your own person, live your life in your own wisdom. And so we have this second voice that comes on the scene, takes what God said, his revelation, what we were supposed to receive and understand, and reinterprets it and gives it a whole new meaning to what God said and what God meant. You know, tonight, and again, I don't want to park here, but we know it's true that the devil doesn't have to destroy God's word. All he has to do is get us to reinterpret it. That's all he's got to do. All he has to do is get us to put a new spin on it, to listen to his voice as he reinterprets it for us. And so that's exactly what he did. So for the first time they hear this new voice comes on the scene and says, are you sure you're understanding the voice of God? Then he tells them, listen, he says, it's not going to kill you. He makes God's interpretation or God's voice seem ridiculous when it comes to the consequences. And then he said, if you eat of this thing, you're going to be like gods. You're going to know as much as God does, and you will no longer need his wisdom because you will be wise in your own right. And so now she faces, now Eve does, the greatest decision in human history. Come on, would you not agree that this is the greatest decision? We're on the precipice here of the greatest decision of human history. Which way will she go? Which voice will she listen to? Which counselor is she going to follow? The voice that she was created to hear, the voice that she was created to receive, the voice that she was created to apply, or is she going to listen to the new counsel and this new voice that has shown up in the garden? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but every one of us face that same decision all the time.
Right.
Which voice are we going to hear? Which counsel are we going to follow? So now she faces this same decision. Well, we know the end of the story because we're the product at the end of the story. And so we know the end of the story. She listened to the new counselor. She listened to the new voice. She listened to the new interpretation of what God said. And she ate of the tree. Thank you, Eve. And it's just as much Adam's fault because he followed. So here's the question. Why did she do it? I've asked that every time I read this chapter. I'm like, why did you do it? You ever read it and think, maybe she'll choose right this time. It doesn't work that way. Why did she do it? Why did she eat of the tree? Come on, do you not want to scream? Don't. What are you doing this? What are you doing? Well, we know, as I said, the end of the story. So the real question is, why did she do it? Well, verse 6 records your thinking. Now, you've got to get, are you following me? You've got to get this in your mind. We got these battling voices now. And so now she's going to have to decide the voice I was created to hear or this new counselor. And in verse 6, God gives us her thinking as she's listening to these voices and she's trying to decide what she's going to do. We hear or see her thinking in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So she makes her decision. And we see her thought process in this as she reasons out. What she's doing here is justifying. She's justifying why she's going to ignore the voice she was created to hear and listen to this new counsel. And she justifies it here with about three different things. As she thinks of it. Now, obviously, it was good for food. It says the tree was, the fruit of it was desirable, that obviously it was delicious, that it was good for food. She said, well, I don't see why it would be wrong to eat it because it looks like it's delicious and it would be good to eat. And then she says it was appealing to the eyes. It just looked like it would provide nutrition. I'm sure she was thinking about nutrition here. Apply the nutrition and it just looks appealing as I look at it. And of course, it also says in verse 6 that it was desirable to make one wise. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6 and think about this, that the first two things that she observed, that it was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, these were nothing more than cover for what she really wanted. Because what she really wanted was that third one. Desired to make one wise. That's what she was really after. The first two, again, were just cover for what she wanted. And of course, she implied that she was justified in eating of this tree in the garden because of all the trees that she was allowed to eat. Come on, this is the implication of verse 6. Of all the trees that are in a garden, this one is good for food. This one is pleasant to the eyes. And of course, that's the first two things she throws out as her reasoning, is that this tree of all the trees are good for food, and this tree of all the trees are pleasant to the eyes. And so she throws out this whole thing, this idea of cover. The trouble with that is all of the trees were equally good, and all of the trees were equally pleasant to the eye. And I know that because chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, "And out of the garden made God the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food." So how many trees met the definition of the first two things that she throws out? Every tree. Every tree was equally good to look at. Every tree was equally good to eat. There weren't any worms in the garden. There weren't any bad fruit. There weren't any bruised apples. Everything was beautiful and great and good to eat. And so when she says, you know, I think I should listen to this and follow the new counsel because this tree is good for the eyes and this tree looks good to eat. Well, they were all good to eat.
Right.
They were all equally pleasant to the eyes. So that's what leads me to believe that those two things are just cover. They're just justification or seeking to justify what she really wanted. And what she really wanted was this. She wanted the wisdom to live without being dependent upon God's voice. She wanted that last part, desired to make one wise. This new counselor has come along and says, if you'll eat of the tree, God knows that you'll know everything he knows and you won't need his wisdom anymore. And so she looks at the tree and says, you know, it is pleasant to the eyes. And it does look like it'd be good for fruit. And I think it will give me the desired wisdom that I want. What is that desired wisdom? It's the wisdom to live without having to be dependent on God's voice. It's the wisdom to live without having to receive his revelation. It's being wise enough that she doesn't have to depend on understanding, discerning, and applying God's word, because she will be wise enough in herself to live. And this is what this new voice has promised her. Come on, you follow me? It's what he's promised her. He's promised her that if you'll eat of this tree, you will have all the wisdom you need. You won't need God's wisdom. You won't need to discern. You won't need to apply. You won't need revelation. Hey, you will be wise enough to live life your own way, and you won't need him. And all this other stuff, as I said, is just cover for what she really wanted. Now, notice this as well. Now, she had proof. She had proof that what God had already given her was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. She had the evidence that what God had given her to this point was good. And she had it in verse 9 where we saw every tree was good for food. Every tree was pleasant to the eyes. So she's been eating of this stuff all along. Come on. Eve has not had a bad banana since the day she was created. She hasn't had a bad apple since the day she was created, or a bad strawberry, or whatever fruits they had 6,000 years ago. She didn't have a bad any of those because they were all pleasant. So what she already had was good. It was pleasant. It was good. She had seen it. Now listen to me. Stay with me. She has seen it. She's tasted it. She has the proof of it. She's also been hearing the wisdom of God. She's been receiving the revelation of God from the day she was created until the fall. She's been hearing God's voice in the garden in the cool of the day. She's been listening to it. She's been hearing the wisdom of God, and we know that was good. And so she's been experiencing all of this, and she has proof that the tree is pleasant to the eyes, all the trees that God made. She has the proof that all the fruit that God made is good for food, and she certainly has proof that God is wise, and his wisdom that she was created to receive is always right. So she has the evidence and the proof for that. So here's the thought in verse 6. She becomes convinced of this in verse 6, that this tree was so needful because of its pleasant look, its food, and its wisdom. So here's the question. What proof did she have that eating of this tree would give her greater pleasure, greater wisdom, greater enjoyment, greater nutrition, and greater wisdom on her own? What proof did she have? What evidence did she have that this tree was going to deliver on all that she's been told it was going to deliver? Well, she's got proof that what she's got is good. But she has no evidence, no proof that what she's been promised is going to happen. So the question is, what evidence did she have? None. Now think about this. All she had for proof and evidence was the words of the new voice. That's all she had. All she had was the promise of this new counselor, that what she was about to receive if she ate of the tree would be better than what God has given her. And so the only thing, she makes this whole decision, this just makes me mad. She made this whole decision that destroyed all of us based on the promise of a voice. Based on the promise of this new counselor. She walks away from the God she's known since the day she was created, whose voice she has heard in the garden, who made her to hear his voice, receive a revelation, apply it, and she walks away from all of that on the promise of a voice with no evidence. She has no proof, no evidence that this is going to work. What made her so confident that she would find by listening to this new voice that she would find by listening to it, that what she would receive would be far better? Well, the answer is none. All she had was the words of the new voice, this new counselor. All she had was this new reinterpretation of God's voice. That's all she had. Now, what's interesting about this is she's just like us. Because in verse 6, she listens to this new voice to the point that she becomes so convinced that it's true that she can see it. No, are you following me?
Yeah.
She can see it now, that this tree is going to be better. That's what she's saying. Here we have a tree. You understand it was just a tree, right? It didn't glow, didn't have special wisdom fruit on it. It didn't glow, it didn't radiate like you see in some of the artist pictures where it glows. In the garden, you would think if it glowed, it might cue in that probably shouldn't eat of it. But it wasn't anything unique about it. It's countless times. We don't even know if it was an apple tree. It was some kind of fruit tree. And it was just like every other tree that was good to the sight, pleasant to the sight, and good to eat. Just like every other one. But by listening, by listening to the voice, she becomes so convinced that this tree is better that now she can see it. She's standing there looking at the tree going, you know, it is pleasant to the eyes. I think it would be good for food. And she listened to the voice that she becomes so convinced that she can now see that her life would be better if she just partook of this tree. And the truth is, she has no evidence for any of it. No proof for any of it. The only thing is that she's listened to the voice that till she's convinced herself or allowed herself to be convinced that this tree will make my life better than what it now is. That I'll have more pleasure, more wisdom, more fun, and it'll be better to eat, and better fruit. I'll be better what's the word I'm looking for? Better fed. it doesn't matter, who cares? We'll be better if we just eat of the tree. Come on, I find it unbelievably fascinating that she stands or listens to this voice until she becomes so convinced of it. I don't know why that would puzzle me, because we do the same thing. Come on, how many of us have seen, let's start here. How many of us have seen teenagers who become convinced by the world that their life is going to be better if they can just get out of the house and do their own thing? What evidence do they have of that? None. They've just heard the wrong voice until they've convinced themselves, and now they can see it. And so Eve does the same thing in verse 6. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But in verse 6, she does the same exact thing. So she ate. You know what she found out? She found out that what she thought was she was seeing, that what she thought she knew, that what she thought was going to be hers for the eating, it was all a lie. That's what she finds out, that it was all a lie. And she soon found out that the new voice, the new counselor, was a liar. But the problem is, at this point now, as we know, the damage was done. You can't undo it. You can't unscramble this egg. It is done. Because she's listened to the counselor, she's made her decision, and now the consequences are hers, and of course, ours. It's been a long weekend, as you know. ours. The damage was done. Now, listen, and let's make some application here, and you already could assume where we're headed. The counselor in the garden is still alive today. He is still alive today. The only difference is he's got a lot of recruits now. But he is still alive today, and he has plenty of converts in the world. Matter of fact, he has the world. We were created, let's say this again, I know you're getting tired of hearing it, but we were created with a unique ability to hear God's voice, understand his revelation, and discern it and apply it in our lives. And this is not, though, just about obedience. What we are created to do, if we do it, shapes who we are. It shapes the kind of life we have. It shapes how blessed we are. It shapes where we're going to spend eternity. It shapes where we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Receiving his revelation, hearing, applying it, shapes all of those things. But as we said, God didn't make us deaf to other voices. And so we face the same core decision in life that he faced. And that is, which voice will we hear? Which voice will we receive? Which voice will we apply in our life? We face that same decision. We don't face it once in life. We face it every single day in life. Which voice am I going to listen to? Which voice am I going to hear? And I feel for our young people today, because that voice is louder in this generation than it has ever been. And there's more voices than there's ever been, trying to convince our young people that there is more, there is better, there is more pleasant, there's more fruitful, there's more pleasure out there if you'll just follow my voice. And man, the voice today of this new council, if you will, is stronger, I think, than it's probably ever been in my lifetime. Certainly it is. I know when I was growing up, that voice was there, but I can tell you, it wasn't as loud and as strong or as multitudinous as it is today. I do have an education that doesn't show, and I try to use it every now and then so I don't forget about all of it, as it's ever been in our time. Listen, if the voice of the devil in the world still trying to convince young people that listening to their voice will give them a life better than anything that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same life promised by the prodigal when he set out for the far city is still the same voice, isn't it? That we're hearing today. You know, they promise life with more pleasure than you'll ever know by serving the Lord. The life lived in your wisdom without having to hear God's voice, without having to receive revelation, without having to apply it. You can be your own person. A voice of the devil in the world still trying to convince young people that listening to their voice will give them so much more happiness than what they have if they follow mom and dad and live in their church and follow the things of God. It's the same old voice that's been speaking to us for 6,000 years. It's the same old voice. And too many people today, not just young but also old, think they've discovered a new counsel. But it's the same old voice. And if we could get our young people and older people to understand that this is the same voice that showed up in Genesis chapter 3 and gives empty promises that result in nothing. Boy, if we could just get people to get a hold of that, we'd be great, wouldn't we? Listen, if you're a young person, and I hope, and I don't mean to insinuate that I think we have young people that are thinking this way. This is preventative of nothing else. But if you're a young person tonight and you're considering that when you get older, you're going to leave church behind, when you get out on your own, you're going to throw away how you were raised and throw off the Bible and live your life the way you want to, then you need to listen tonight. Oh, no, come on, you need to listen. I don't want to pin something on you you're not planning to do, but you need to listen. That is just like Eve. You need to throw off the cover. Because what happens when young people, and it's just not just young people, I've seen older people do the same exact thing. The first thing that happens is we throw out cover. Well, we just never get to have any fun. They won't let us do anything. We never get to go anywhere. Does this sound familiar? Hopefully not. We never get to, you know what, when I tell you what, when I turn 18, I'm going to listen to another voice because we never get to do anything and I don't get to have any fun and I don't get to experience the world. That's just cover. You know, when Eve said, boy, it does look like it's good for food. It is pleasant. It was just cover for what she really wanted. Because what she really wanted was to be able to live her life without having to listen to God. And that's the same thing when a young person or an older person says, well, I don't get to have any fun. I'm so oppressed. I can't go where I want. I can't wear what I want. I can't listen to what I want. It's just cover. What the real issue is you want to live life without having to listen to the voice you were created to hear, without having to listen to the revelation you were created to receive, and without having to apply and discern and understand the Word of God, which you were made to do. Amen. And the thing that appeals to us is being able to live in my wisdom. Like Eve, living in a perfect garden, by listening to the other counselor, you will soon become convinced that you're missing out on something. Because this is what happens. Young people listen to another voice. What's so dangerous about music and entertainment? I still say that one of the most dangerous times in every young person's life is when they get a job. Because now suddenly they're going to be bombarded with new voices.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And if they'll listen to those voices enough, and young people, if you'll listen to those voices enough, you're going to be just like Eve, staring up at that perfect tree. I'm sorry, staring up at the other perfect trees that God made in the garden, and convince yourself that this one's better. And you become so convinced by these other voices that life out there, outside God, outside church, outside His world, is so much more pleasant and so much more wonderful and so much more fun. And it can come to the point that you have no evidence for it. You don't have any proof for it. But you come to believe it. Because that's the same way it worked with Eve. And come on, we've lost too many young people to this same principle in this same way. And it's like I said, it's all just cover for what we want to do or what Eve wanted to do. Don't I have to listen to God? Don't I have to receive revelation? Don't I have to apply His word? And like Eve, what proof do we have? If you're a young person, and again, I hope none of ours are, but if you're a young person sitting here tonight and you're old enough that you're thinking, when I turn 18, man, I'm gone. I'm going to do my thing. Let me ask you something. What proof do you have your life's going to be better that way? No, come on, listen. Really, let's be honest. What proof do you have that if you can get out of the house and go do what you think is going to be fun and what you think you've been kept from doing and what you think your parents haven't allowed you to do and the fact that you've been living in bondage since you were born, and when you get your freedom, you're going to go do this and you're going to do, and you'll listen to what you want to do and you'll watch what you want to watch and you're going to do what... Let me help you out. What evidence do you... Come on, submit it tonight. What proof do you have your life will be better?
That's right.
The only thing you've got is an empty voice that's telling you, throw it all off and do your own thing. And you'll be happy. That's the only proof you have. Hey, it didn't work out too well for Eve. What she found out is that the voice is a liar.
That's right.
The only proof is in your mind. Hey, listen, it's just not young people. If you're an older person sitting here tonight and you're thinking, boy, if you're one of those people kind of teetering on the edge, and I don't think we have any of those, but you never know. If you're teetering on, just think, you know, I'm not sure about this. I think I could have more fun in this relationship and in that relationship and in this situation and doing that. Listen, it is a lie. An absolute lie. But if you listen to the wrong voice, you'll come to the point, you're so convinced. You'll be like Eve, I can see it. And it's a shame when we see teenagers who grow up and listen to that voice and they can see the promised land. I mean, they can see what it's going to be like when they get out on their own and it's going to be so wonderful and they're going to have all these friends and everything is going to be great. And it's all just empty promise. You'll find out what people have been finding out for 6,000 years. And that is that abundant life is in hearing the voice of God, receiving His revelation, and applying it to your life. That's where abundant life is. It's not in listening to the voices out there. But as I said, it's not just young people. Many older have also listened to the wrong counsel and become so convinced that church and hearing the Word of God and applying the Word of God is robbing them of something. And like even others, they throw up all kinds of cover. But at the end of the day, it's all about wanting to avoid hearing the voice of God, avoiding His revelation, and avoiding Him to apply His Word in their life. I'm going to be my own person. Amen?
Amen.
We all face this core decision in life. What voice are we going to hear? No, that's wrong. What voice are we going to listen to? Because we're all hearing the voice.
Right.
What voice are we going to listen to? And what promise do we have if we follow its counsel, our life is going to be better? Let me give you this and we'll be done. What do we need to know when we're being appealed to by another voice? I want to give you about six things just real quick. We're not going to stop and preach on them, but six things quickly. When we understand that we're being bombarded with a new voice, there's some things we need to consider and think about. First of all, number one, voices that seek to influence us have an agenda.
Yes.
Voices that seek to influence us have an agenda. God has an agenda. Certainly does. And His voice in Revelation absolutely has an agenda. Over in chapter 1 in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth. And so God created man in His own image. And the image of God created him and made him male and female. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Then He gave Adam, his wife, and God's desire, his agenda was to bless man.
Yes.
And to fellowship with man. That was God's agenda. Yes. Listen, God's voice is out there, and God's certainly trying to influence with his voice because he wants us to have an abundant life.
Amen.
And he wants us to have it without the chaos and the drama and the scars and the regrets that come with the other counsel. And so God has an agenda. But listen tonight, if you don't think this other voice has an agenda, then you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because it certainly, Satan's voice certainly has an agenda. This new counselor approached Eve as if he were her friend. No, you need to listen to this. You need to notice this. He approaches her as if he is her friend. He sidles up beside her, if you will, like he's her friend, trying to deliver her from the bondage that she's in and having to serve God. Just like friends, when you get your first job and you show up in a worldly workplace and they're trying to deliver you from your oppressive parents and your church and all those commandments you got to follow and all those things you need to do, you need to throw all that off and just be your own person. They're trying to help you because they're your friend. Well, when you crash and burn in your life, you'll find out where all those friends are because they won't be found. And you know who will be there to pick up the pieces of your wrecked life? It will be your parents. And the only thing you've done is saddled them with your sin problem. Every voice has an agenda. God's voice wants to bless us with an abundant life. Then we have the devil and the world. Come on, the world has an agenda. They want to corrupt everybody as corrupt as they are themselves. And unfortunately, in our culture, it's our young people that end up suffering for it. They want to corrupt us with this whole idea of gender identification. They want to corrupt our children with homosexuality. They want to corrupt them with drug abuse. They want to corrupt them with all of this garbage and filth and destroy their lives. And where is the world when all this happens? Nowhere to be found because they have no answer for it. You always want to remember, when you're being influenced by the voice of this world or any voice, voices always have an agenda. Satan has an agenda. Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And he has an agenda. Come on, you don't think Satan had an agenda in the garden? Absolutely he did. And we know what his agenda was. Chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. See, the devil wasn't lying. He says, you're going to know what God knows. Now in verse 7, they find out what God knows. And eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves from the presence of God. In verse 22, we see the glorious results of being your own person. And the Lord God said, behold, man has become one of us to know good and evil. He's become a sinner. Now lest he put forth his hand and also of the tree of life, eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth in the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He drove man out. He drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword. And they'd given up everything that the voice of God, they'd given up God's agenda. And they followed this voice for which they had no proof of anything. And now they reap the results of it. And nothing's changed. Amen? The world acts like our friend. If you're a young person tonight, the world will act like your buddy. They are your friend. They just want you to be free, man. They just want you to be able to enjoy your life. They just want you to be your own boss. They just want you to live your life the way you want to. That's all they want because they're your friend. They are not your friend.
That's right. That's right.
Because they will destroy your life and they won't be able to be found anywhere.
Right.
And that friend that you're talking to or texting with your phone, that friend that you're hooked up with at work who's trying to convince you that you need to put away the voice of God and be your own person, that is not your friend.
Right.
And I'll guarantee it because when you mess up your life, they won't be anywhere to be found. Nothing has changed. That voice that promises liberty brings only bondage. The voice of the lost and world and friend and worldly family, boy, isn't that a blessing. We got worldly family being a voice in your children's ear or in your life. Co-workers are just like the devil when he questioned the voice of God. So these counselors, they don't care about us, and that's evidenced by the fact that the result of their counsel comes to fruition, they can't be found. Then secondly, let me add this. There's only one voice that has an agenda for our good. Remember when Jesus said in John 10, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Then secondly, not only do the voices seek to influence us, have an agenda, but they are not amoral. Not only do the voices that are out there seeking to influence us have an agenda, but they are not amoral. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. The counsel of these voices always places us in a position to have to choose between good and bad. It always places us in the position of having to choose between right and wrong. It always places us in the position to choose between righteousness and unrighteousness, moral and immoral, godly and ungodly. Voices always seek to influence us to have to choose between those two. God's voice in Revelation, one thing about God and His revelation, His voice, He just outrightly tells us to make the choice. God says, God's very outright about it. It's a choice between good and evil. It's a choice between right and wrong, righteous and unrighteous. It's an absolute choice. And God tells us that so that we might know that we need to choose. You do understand, don't you, that the voice of the devil and the voice of the world tries to convince us not to listen to God's voice, not to apply His revelation, and not to think about the fact that I am choosing. Does that make sense? There is no amoral decision. Listen, when I choose to follow the world's voice, I'm making a decision. The world wants us to be convinced that we can just live our life and there is no choice between right and wrong. There is no moral, immoral. There is no right or unrighteous. There is none of that. You're just being your own person. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. Moral, immoral, righteous, unrighteous, godly and ungodly. But these voices are not amoral. They always, listen, the voice of the world always puts us in a place of having to choose between God and the world, self and God, right and wrong, righteous and unrighteous, moral and immoral. It always places us in that. Come on, that's what it did to Eve. Now, did the devil come to Eve and said, now listen, you need to understand that you're getting ready to make a choice between right and wrong. You're getting ready to make a choice between righteous and unrighteous. No, he forgot to mention any of that. He just says, look what it promises. Yeah. Don't worry about that whole right and wrong thing. Don't worry about that old moral, immoral thing. Don't worry about godly. Don't worry about all that. Just be your own person. Do you understand? You can't do that. It is a choice between godly and ungodly, righteous and unrighteous, moral and immoral. It absolutely is a choice between those. The world always tries to convince us that by not listening to God's voice, by not applying His revelation, by not thinking about these things, that we're not making any choice between right and wrong. You're just doing your own thing. No, there's always a choice. Amen? Amen? It absolutely is a choice. She made a moral choice. She made a righteous, unrighteous choice. She made a right and wrong, good or wrong choice when she chose to eat and the consequences that came with it. And if you're a young person tonight, it's the same thing. You're not going to leave home and go out and just make a choice and just be your own person. No, you're going to make a moral choice. Right, wrong, righteous, unrighteous, godly, ungodly. God, not God. You're going to make a choice. And the world will try to convince you, don't worry about that stuff. It's not a choice. There's no right or wrong. It's just a choice. There is never any such thing as just a choice.
Right.
Never. Thirdly, the voice of the world and the devil will always appeal to our base nature. The voice of the world always appeals. This new council always appeals to our base nature. You say, well, our base nature is wicked. Yeah, it is. But the realization is our innate sinful desire is to be God. Our innate sinful desire is to do as the devil did, and that is to be God. It's not so much that we seek worldly pleasure. We seek to be God. We want to be our own person. We want to be our own God. And the voice of the world, these voices will always try to convince you and appeal to our sinful nature. Because that's, again, remember in verse 6, good to the eye, pleasant to the eyes and good for food is just cover. The real issue was, I'll have the wisdom that I won't have to listen to God. And that always appeals to our nature. Come on, the world never appeals to us to be more godly. Hollywood's not making movies to try to appeal to our young people to be more godly. They're not appealing to our young people to be more moral. Hollywood's not making any anti-abortion movies. It's not making any of refrain from intimate relationships to your married movies. Matter of fact, they mock those things. You know why? Because they want to make the consequences that God says are there to seem ridiculous. And so they're not saying any of those things. And they're trying to convince our young people and us, not just our young people, but us as well, and by appealing to our sinful nature, that we can do what we want to do. We don't need God to tell us anything. We don't need churches to tell us anything. We don't need preachers to tell us anything. We'll live the way we want to. It always appeals to our sinful nature. Fourthly, as he found out, it's never as easy as a choice. It's never as easy as just deciding to follow your own wisdom instead of God's. Devil likes to present it that way. In verse 6, that's how the devil presents it. You're just making a choice to do what you want to do. And the world always presents it as easy as a choice. You know, when you get older, one thing you find out, there's no such thing as easy as a choice. And the world will always kind of convince us. Not only does one choice lead to one kind of life, and another choice to another kind of life, but there's also always an emptiness that comes when we refuse to hear God's voice. Right. You know why? Because we're denying the base, the foundation of what we were created to be. Yeah. Listen, if you're young or old tonight, you were created to hear God's voice.
Right.
You were created to receive His revelation. And you were created to hear it, understand it, discern it, and apply it in your life. And when you stop listening to that voice, you're denying the very thing you were created to be. And if you think you can just walk away from that, and you're going to feel fulfilled, and you're going to feel happy, and you're going to feel like you've got purpose in your life, and that you are whole, then you've been listening to the wrong voice, because it is never going to happen. Why is it that when people go out in the world and finally take enough of a beating, come crawling back? Because one of the biggest problems is they feel this entire time they're empty inside, there's something wrong in their life. You know why? Because they're missing that relationship that what they were made to have. That prodigal son, I don't believe for a moment that the only reason he went home was because he was sick of eating with the pigs. You know why he went home? Because he missed what came with it. And you know why people who listen to the wrong voice and become convinced that their life will be better out there, you know why most of them come back? Because they miss what they had. And there's always an emptiness when we listen to the wrong voice. Always. And people either come back, they crash and burn, or they're mean and angry the rest of their life. One or the other. It's never as simple as just making a choice, because we were created to be receivers of God's revelation. And when you fail to do that, you've missed the very thing God made you to be.
Right.
And if you think you can just walk away and have a happy life, you're about to find out that the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right.
Fifthly, almost done. While God's voice brings simplicity and blessing, listen, one of the things I love about God's word is it brings simplicity and blessing. I'm not saying the Christian life is always simple, but God's word brings simplicity. I like don't do this, do this. Never do this, always do this. That's simplicity, isn't it? God says, thou shalt not. I'm thankful God says, eh. God never goes, eh, kind of whatever you want to do. God always says, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt. I like that. It brings simplicity in my life. And my life is so much simpler if I just obey God and serve Him. Now again, I'm not insinuating tonight, you know, that if you start serving God, your life will be like the millennial kingdom. We know there's challenges in the saved life, but it's simple. See, you never have the complications of an unwanted pregnancy outside marriage. You never have the complications of sexually transmitted diseases. You never have the complications of drug abuse. You never have the complications of memories you can't erase. You never have the complications of getting married and have 15 people in your relationship because of all the people you slept with before you got married. You never have the complications of all that. Life is simple. It's so much more simple. How many times have you heard me talk about the drama and the chaos of the world? Life is so much more simple when you just serve the Lord and serve Him. And when you listen to other voices, it will complicate your life. You know what it'll do? It'll complicate your relationship with your parents. It will complicate your relationship with the people that you grew up with. It will complicate your relationships with other young people in the church that you grew up with who are still serving God. It will, as adults, it will complicate our relationship with people we used to go to church with. You see, people come to some place like Calvary Baptist Church and serve God for a long time, and they'll listen to a voice, and then they're gone. And it so complicates our relationship. Because listening to the wrong voice complicates everything. But if you'll just listen to God's voice, which we are created to do, it makes everything so much more simple. Amen?
Amen.
So if you love chaos and drama and a complicated life full of unending problems, I would recommend you listen to the other voice. If you want a simple life where you can just serve God and be happy, be blessed of Him, have an abundant life, then you better listen to God's voice.
Amen.
Lastly, God's voice is the only one that makes life make sense. God's voice is the only one that makes life make sense. Why are we here? What's my purpose? What's this all about? What's going on with the world? What's wrong with people? What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with the times we're living in? What happens when people die? What happens about this and why this and why that? God's Word is the only thing that makes life make sense. You know, when I look at the world today, when I look at our country, it's a mess. And thankfully, it's not just us. It's the whole world. Don't think for a minute that it's just the U.S. If you watch any foreign news, they are as crazy as we are. And when I watch all of this, it looks like utter chaos, because that's what the other voice brings. You've got to remember, our country used to listen to the right voice. And now as a country, we don't listen to the right voice anymore. And now we don't even know if we're a man or a woman. Or something in between, or some variation thereof. That's how ridiculous it is when you listen to the other voice. It's hard for me to grasp why a young person would listen to this other voice, think they're going to launch out listening to the world's voice and have a great time, when the world is out there going, you can be 192 variations of male and female. Well, good night. How bright do you have to be to figure out they have not got it figured out?
Right.
Our country used to listen to the voice of God, and it was so much simpler living here. Now look at the mess we're in. I don't know if you noticed or not, but it is complicated. And it is drama.
Yes.
And it is chaos. And it happened long before we elected Donald Trump. And now look where we're at. Well, if you want that kind of life, then throw off God's voice. Because your life will be just like that. His life, like I said, brings simplicity. And he has, when I see what's going on in the world today, I know what's going on. It makes sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me why we're doing it, but it makes sense to me. When I look at everything that's going on, I don't go, what is happening? I know we ask that question. We mean it as a rhetorical question, as how crazy things are. But when I look at the world, I don't go, what is going on? Well, I know what's going on, because God's Word tells me what's going on. We're listening to the wrong voice. And we're destroying ourselves. Because we're listening to the wrong voice. You need to remember that, because why would as a young person, think about this. This voice that's utterly destroying our country, that's creating confusion about male and female and what a marriage is and whether two men should be married like a man and a wife. Why would you watch that and go, I should follow their wisdom? Why would we do that when we see the results of it every day?
Right.
You know why? Because if you listen to the voice long enough, you'll be convinced. You'll be convinced that you're not seeing what you're seeing. You'll become convinced in your mind. You'll be going, I can see it. My life would be so much better. Last verse and we're done. Just going to read it and then we'll pray. John 6. I'm so thankful that we were made to hear His voice, to be able to receive and understand His Word, discern it, make application of it to our life. There's a danger because His voice is not the only one we can hear. And we need to remember that voices have an agenda. They're seeking to influence us. And there's only one voice that's for our good, and that's our Lord. In John 6, verse 66, long chapter. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter finally says something smart. Amen. Verse 68. Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now notice what he says. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of life.
Amen.
as it says in one of the other Gospels. You want to know where the life is? It's in the voice we were created to hear, receive, and apply. Listen, if you're a young person tonight, don't listen to the voice of the world. Don't allow them to convince you that you're going to be able to walk away, just walk away and make a choice to be your own person. And suddenly, it's going to be like an amazing time in your life, and you're finally going to be delivered from bondage and have fun and excitement, and it's going to be great for you. Because there's always great enjoyment in the far city. You know what that is? That is a lie of the devil.
That's right.
And if you listen to it long enough, you'll be able to see it. And you'll find out, like, come on, you really think that prodigal son walked off going, I can't wait to eat with the pigs. No, he could see it.
Right.
Couldn't he? Yeah. He had to be able, I could see how much fun it's going to be down there. He found out it was all a lie. It's so ridiculous to repeat the same mistake over again. Amen?
Right.
So if you're not, you're a young person, and you're thinking about these things, you need to remember what we talked about tonight. That there's a voice out there that has an agenda. And if you follow it and listen to it, you're going to complicate your life, create scars, and regrets that you'll never be able to erase. Better to stay in the Father's house than to have to come crawling back. Now, if you get out there and mess your life back up, by all means, come crawling back. But it sure would be better to come back, to stay in the Father's house. Don't listen to the voice. Listen to the one voice you were created to hear, that we're created to receive and you're created to apply. Listen to God's word, because in it there is life. Amen? And simplicity and blessing. And you won't mess up the relationships in your life and complicate your life. And you won't have to worry. I've never had to worry about a scar in my life because of following God's word. Amen? Why don't you stand with me if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a verse invitation as we always do. I'm so thankful we were made to listen to His voice and to hear His voice. But it's so dangerous, the fact there are other voices out there, more so today than there has ever been. If you are a young person kind of teetering on the edge tonight, listen, instead of just standing there tonight, why don't you hit the altar tonight and say, God, forgive me. I've been listening to the wrong voice and I don't want to mess up my life. I've been listening to the wrong voice, and I've been allowed myself to be convinced that I'm going to find something so better out there when all around me I can see the evidence that starts. You know, Eve, to some degree, kind of gets a pass in this sense, that she didn't have anybody's testimony to listen to. There was nobody before her that said, let me tell you, I ate of the tree, and look what happened to my life. She had none of that. The sad thing is today, we've got testimony after testimony after testimony of people who can testify what happens when you listen to the wrong voice. So if you're a young person here tonight, don't do that. Maybe you need to come tonight, if that's the case, kneel fast on the altar and say, God, forgive me. I need to get my heart right with you. If you're a young person tonight, or older, any of us, don't worry about what people think. Maybe we come to the altar tonight and kneel down and say, God, protect me from that. It's not what I want. I don't want that. God, protect me from the voices that are out there. Give me the wisdom to discern the right voice. Because I want to continue to live for you. I want to continue to be blessed in my life. It'd be a great thing even as a young person to just pray for protection from that. And as older people, maybe as parents, we need to pray for our children. God, protect our children from the voices that are out there today. Our grandchildren.